Good day, good people. My name is Navi Musa. I'm your host today and always for the Mindset Win the podcast. We try to bring value each and every week to you guys through life experiences, work, and through our special guests. Today, we have Anna Guzman and Adam Frederick. They are friends, and Anna is actually a realtor within our office, and they also do some property management. So first of all, welcome. Thank you guys for coming. I know you guys are busy.
Thanks for having us.
We try to get to this room like 10 times and the phone kept ringing. But that's why we want to have this podcast to talk about you guys. So today we're going to go like some basics 101 of property management. With the influx of new investors because of the real estate boom, which is weird for me to say because we're on real estate. So it's always been booming. We're seeing a lot of new landlords, right? Which means there's most like an uptick in bad tenant selection or not the best, you know, tenant selection process. Maybe, which is probably resulting in a lot more evictions and then potentially even more foreclosures because of how they bought the property and stuff like that, whatever. But for all intents and purposes, with landlording, I kind of wanted you guys to talk about how can some of these new landlords avoid some of these pitfalls, like common pitfalls, and just like some tricks that maybe seasoned tenants do that the new landlords don't know about. I'll just leave it up to you guys.
I think what you were alluding to is somebody wants to jump in their first investment property and kind of gung-ho and do it themselves. A couple things to keep in mind is that this is obviously it's your investment. So the goal here is to get the most return on investment for the long term, normally that you can. A couple things that can sort of submarine that would be if you execute a bad lease, if you put the wrong person in the property, somebody that's not going to pay for the long term, somebody that's going to destroy your asset, physically, like damage wise, there's a lot of things that can throw your investment trajectory way off course for a long period of time, to the point, like you were alluding to, like closures that you get to a point where you have to keep sinking money and more money into an asset, you can get upside down like really pretty quickly.
So how does somebody new avoid that though? Like how does someone avoid to get a tenant that not going to trash your property that is going to pay you rent and stuff like that?
So we usually do like tenant screening and different process. Our application process, we do it online. With the screening, we also do like magisterial dockets and stuff like that, just to be aware. Most of the times, an in-person showings, that way you can feel the person and get a little bit more of a background, why they're coming this way or why they're moving, what are their expectations on moving, where they're moving from, the type of job that they have, the family, like how big is their family and all these things are things that come through our screening process. But the most important is looking into the dockets when you see that red flag.
Tell me what's a red flag. What's the red flag?
What we're talking about is the dot. So there's things that's public record, right?
Yeah.
So your criminal history is public record, believe it or not, and your civil, anything that's like a civil case. So if a past landlord sued this person for non-payment of rent or destruction of property, that's public record. You can look that up. Pennsylvania, it's PADockets.gov or something like that. You can Google it and you can go in, type in the person's name, county or, you know, county by county or the whole state. And you can see if there's any transactions there. Believe it or not, if I list the property and we get 20 applications, probably at least two or three of them will have a landlord-tenant complaint on their recent history. So these are people you obviously want to avoid. In a market like now where there's a housing shortage, people are waiting months and months and months to get a place to live. You don't have to settle for
just anybody.
Those kind of like red flags. Like there should always be a better candidate than that right now. So. Yeah. Right now we don't have to take somebody that has a landlord tenant case. Even if it was 10 years ago, we would normally look at like most recent history, there could be a drastic reason that that happened 10 years ago and people do change and get, maybe it was a one-off situation, but you at least want to be aware of that.
Yes.
It is public record. The other thing you can look at is criminal history and see if there's, you know, there's repeated issues all the time. And it's like every 6 months there's a new thing. It's probably not the most stable. Like,
and these resources you guys are both talking about, this PA doc and the magistrate and stuff like that, this, it doesn't matter if you're somebody who has one property or has got 100 properties, you still have access to it.
Yeah, you still have.
Yeah, the reason I wanted to bring that up, because if we have someone who's new who's listening, the point of this is not to scare you guys if you want to get into it. We don't, but it's the risk and realities of it, because you see these other shows and it's like, I own 100 doors and it's like, and they're out on the boat in Bermuda and stuff like that. And it's kind of like, well, the reality is they have people like you who are actually managing the places for them while they're not worrying about it, stuff like that. So
a lot of day-to-day stuff.
So also when you look into their screening and you look at background checks, we look for utilities to be paid on time. If they have a past due utility bill of electric, gas, water, sewer, it all depends the state or the location, municipality that they are in. If they have like at least $500 to $1,000 I have seen $2,500 on backup on electric and stuff like that. That is a tenant that it's not going to pay on time and it's not going to pay their bills. Recently, we had a case. We have been having a lot of properties on the market right now. And I had a candidate, her credit was almost 700 of credit score. And for some reason, she was moving out of the area that we work in. For some reason, I was like, she's moving from out to inside, inside city. Like, there's something going on here. Yes. So I look into their dockets. And of course, there was a recent landlord and tenant complaint at the beginning of March. So it was a name that everybody could have that name. So I was like hesitating, like,
okay.
So I made a call and I asked her, I'm like, hey, can you give me like your landlord information to confirm some stuff we're looking into and screening, you know, looking into your application. And of course, as soon as she gave me the name of the landlord, it on the magisterial docket was written down that it was that landlord.
Okay.
Because it doesn't have like the address, if I'm not mistaken.
No, of it just says the plaintiff.
It says,
okay.
So
and lots of people could be called John Smith.
But that makes sense that you kind of get both sides of it, not just the one.
So I was like, oh my God. And she makes like four times the rent. We're looking at 2.5 usually of the rent.
That's a person like that candidate is somebody who you might think
it's perfect.
Looks like a great, a very attractive candidate. But you're moving from a, a suburban neighborhood
to an urban
construction development type of apartments back into like a CRD neighborhood. There's a reason. There's a reason for that. So what is the reason? And in that case, it's the
decision. So for those who, if you're first time listening or just new to real estate in general, like Adam, he said C or D. So there's property class types. There's like A, B, C or D. A is usually commercial. B is usually like a suburban home. Think of like the cul-de-sac kind of environment, And then C and D is more the urban areas. Within the city limits and the boroughs and stuff like that. So that's what he's talking about, which C or D, I mean, usually you get a better rate of return on, you know, it's a lot more interest, but like I always tell my investors, listen, the cap rate looks good on these C and D properties, no doubt, but do you want to make a 14% cap rate 60% time of the year? Or do you want to make an 8% cap rate 90% time of the year or something like that? And it's somewhere steady, right? And I'd rather have 8% steady than 14%. Tops, right? Doesn't make a difference. Yeah, exactly. So if someone is listening to this and they're thinking about getting into it, or they're already into it, they've got one or two doors, right? One or two buildings. What, and they're struggling, right? They're like, I don't know what to do. I got a full-time job. I got two jobs now. And this tenant doesn't want to pay the rent. I don't want to go through the process of eviction and stuff like that. And let's be honest, there are more lazy landlords than there are probably active landlords, unfortunately, right? There's people just lazy landlords. That's just how they do it. And that's on them. Not that I want to encourage it, but what do you think, or what advice do you think you could give to those saying maybe some software, some tools they could use to help collect rent or to...
Yeah, so you should not, I mean, the days of knocking on doors to collect cash from the tenant. You shouldn't have to do that anymore.
No, not even space.
Chasing people down for rent like that. So there's three apps. I think if you have under 15 doors, you can use Cozy.
So it's what's it called?
Cozy. I think it's called Cozy.com.
C-O-Z.
Is it like Cozy, like C-O-Z-Y, like being cozy? Oh, okay.
Yep.
That's a free, I think it's free.
Okay.
But you can, it's only for like 15 doors or less.
Okay.
So a lot of new people or people that have a small portfolio. Mm-hmm. It's not real elaborate, but it allows a tenant to pay online to, you know, with a debit card.
Yeah.
And you receive that money electronically. So you don't have to be dealing with getting a PO box. Oh, I mailed it yesterday. Oh, and then 3 days later, it's still not there.
It's still not there.
Playing the game so you can see they paid it or they didn't pay it.
So if you notice, as we're talking, we say doors, 15 doors, 10 doors, whatever. 15 doors doesn't mean 15 apartment buildings. 15 doors doesn't mean 15 roofs, right? You could have one building that could have three units in it. That's three doors, mm-hmm. right? So that's why we go by doors. So when he says 15, that's 15 doors, not 15 roofs. Because I'm sure someone probably said, well, 15, that's a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, 15 apartment buildings, that could be whatever. Yeah, we're talking about 15 individual units, 15 doors and stuff like that. So
15, I think it is. So it's perfect for a new investor or somebody that just wants to have these couple of properties and hold them for a long time, and they don't need elaborate reporting that some of the professional softwares provide. It's real simple. Mm-hmm. I think you can get like a real simple cash flow statement if you want, but it integrates with QuickBooks and that kind of stuff, but it's very stripped down and basic.
So when a tenant comes, or not a tenant, when a property owner says, yeah, I'm done, I'm throwing my hands up, I don't want to do this anymore. So they come to you guys. I'm going to ask you, as you're Hispanic and you're female, do they automatically just look at him and say he's in charge? I mean, let's be honest here, because like, how does that happen? I don't know.
It all depends, honestly. Usually I take care of the Hispanic owners. They ask me a lot of questions. Adam does a lot of onboarding with his language, which is English, not Spanish.
His language.
His language.
Singular.
But we do like a recap. The only thing is that if they want to the management fee can lower down and they want to play, okay. Adam will call you and have a conversation with you. Like, our management is this amount. The only way that it will go down is if you have like this amount of doors and stuff like that. Yeah. You know, it needs to have some qualifications. So that's when Adam goes
at that point.
That department of, yeah. And he's usually very friendly with the place, like management fees. He's like, it's okay. Well, just, you know.
No, I mean, I get all that. But I guess my point is that before, like, we were talking, I had a guest on. And it was her and her husband were flipping houses. She was the one writing the checks and she was making the call. But when she met the contractor only spoke to the husband. Like he would not.
Oh, yeah.
He would not. Every time she was like, hello, I'm the one writing the check, not him.
Yeah.
And the contractor was kind of like, really?
Yeah.
Yes, it's 2022. I'm pretty sure females know how to write checks and make their own money.
It could be a cultural thing and stuff like that. So when things like that happen, yes, I'm like, hey, Adam, like,
so something you, going, oh yeah. You kind of just say, yes. All right, it is what it is and go from there. Okay.
And we usually make, even though he's making a decision and putting there like to the guys like, oh yeah, we are going to do all this.
Yeah.
He usually converse with me.
Yeah, you guys are always.
Yeah, so I'm like, yeah, it's fine. You know, just.
That's why if he knows, I don't text you guys individually. I always just text you both because I'm like, because I know whatever you're going to agree with, he's fine and vice versa. So I don't worry about that there. So, all right. So we have somebody who has a door or two and we have somebody who has saying, I'm done. Are you just going to say, fine, we'll take you on? Or are you going to say, listen, what are your problems?
Yes.
What do you have going on? Mm-hmm. And then, hey, do you know you can fix it by doing this yourself?
A lot of times, like, there could be, and it's different for every situation, right? So our goal would be to figure out what can be done to help that person, mm-hmm. whatever their goal is, right? Their goal might be to sell everything because they're over it, or if there's any way we can help them manage it and make it easier or whatever, but everybody's situation
is totally
different. Yeah. People get into things for different reasons. Life changes happen, divorces, whatever.
Yeah.
When I move,
business partners or whatever.
Who knows? Yeah. There's a million different things that can happen. So,
yeah. So he had, if you guys are listening, Adam, this is about, you know, the situation, maybe like selling or something like that. So like, you know, I mentioned before, Anna's a licensed real estate agent. And I know in Pennsylvania to do property management.
Need to have the license.
You need to have a license, stuff like that there and stuff like that. So keep that in mind. Like if you're listening to this, say, hey, I can do property management. I'm pretty good. I'm handy. It's not all that easy as far as from that requirement goes. And I self-managed. I think I had 5 properties at the time. And once I broke 5, I was like, I'm done.
Oh yeah.
I'm not good. And what I've never forget what really, you know, the straw that broke the camel's back, if you will. It was either Christmas or Thanksgiving. I can't remember. And it was like 3:00 in the morning and my phone would not stop ringing. Yes. And I'm thinking, maybe it's my mom or something happened. Mm-hmm. So the phone's downstairs in the kitchen. I come running downstairs, bust my toe, almost fall, answer it. And it's a drunk tenant. And just like, the house is on fire or something like call 911, something like that. House wasn't on fire. So, not at all. Yeah, I was like, this is it. This is bullshit. I'm done. I can't. How do you guys deal with that?
And that's a mistake that usually first landlords make.
Okay.
They tell the tenants, I am the owner. This is my number. If anything, just call me.
Okay.
That's the first scratching the mistake. Tenants won't
respect your personal.
They are not going to respect your personal time. And not only that, they're not going to pay you on time. They're going to be like, he's my landlord. He's my friend, Adam. Yeah, I'm gonna be 3 days late. So they don't have no boundaries. Right now, I could tell you that we have on board recently few owners that they're like, hey, this tenant, they don't pay on time, like at all. And we're like, okay.
So they can't be boundaries. They don't have to be the bad guy.
Okay. When you self-manage, you can be the bad one or you can be the good one.
I'm guilty of that.
They tell you that they have been like, hey, this is my portfolio. We have had since 10 doors up to 1 door. This is my portfolio. Tenant doesn't pay on time. They don't listen to me. They call me all the time. Can you manage? And we're like, okay, let's do this. First thing is the tenant are like, well, she lets me pay or he lets me pay on the 15th. Well, your lease states is the 1st to the 5th. On the 6th, you have a 10% of late charge. And if the 15th, you are not paying on the 12th or 15th, we're on court. So honestly, everybody has become to pay from the 1st to the 5th, to the 5th.
Yeah.
So we're training tenants also.
So is there like a letter you guys give? Like, hey, we have like an intro letter to you guys on certain.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We do intro letter, welcome letter. We go and speak to the tenants. And as soon as the tenant, they usually the first call is like, well, I have disagreement with the owner. And the response to that is like, well, we're managing now.
Yep.
And your lease dates that are this, like your payment is this one, is due date is this. And these are, you know, the rules. And you could pay either ways of, these are your ways to pay. And this is how we're going to handle it now.
Is there a, and I don't know. Legit question. Is there a requirement if I own buildings, I'm giving you guys to manage them. Am I required as an owner to notify the tenants, at least in Pennsylvania, notify the tenants, hey, there's property management coming into place?
Usually they do.
I mean that it's common courtesy, of course.
No.
But is there a requirement
that says that? No.
Okay.
Well, if we onboard a property that we're going to manage for someone, we send them a packet of documents to fill out.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is an authorized agent form. There's another piece to that, which is most cities now require
you to live a certain distance.
You to have, if you, let's say you live in California and you're investing in Pennsylvania, you have to have what's called a registered local agent live within 20 miles of the property, the subject property. So we would have them fill out the authorized agent form that states that we're the authorized agent. There can be no confusion. Oh, well, you're not supposed to be, you know, who are you? You're just knocking on my door. Well, no, here's it. We have all the documentation.
Yeah, yeah.
We're authorized to manage the property now. So
this is what's going to happen.
Yeah. And although Adam gave the example of California or Pennsylvania, but you heard like NSA that, you know, you can like 20, like 25 miles. You could be within the same state, same just one county
same
over.
City. No, I have owners and just, that I manage and they live.
And they live in the same city. There you go.
Yeah. County, city, they're like 10 miles away.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So having said, okay, now we'll go back to the beginning of the conversation about the red flags. Yes. It's obvious if you see there's something on the registration, hey, they have an eviction history or some kind of, and obviously you can't discriminate, but those are your flags. What are things outside that, let's say you can't find them, what if they're squeaky clean online? They don't have a registry record. They don't have anything.
Yeah, there's
what are certain keywords or
when you yeah. stuff like that? When you meet a person, usually you know, that's the important part of meeting this prospect. Right.
Yeah. As a general concept, like yeah. we believe strongly in the it needs to be the right fit.
Yeah.
For the property.
Right for that property and that person. So if you say, I've had prospects that are great, probably great tenants, mm-hmm. but they were trying to squeeze into a fit that I knew was going to be very temporary mm-hmm. and they weren't going to be comfortable there.
This is what, like six people going to a two bedroom apartment.
Yeah. Right. And they're, like, oh, that, yeah. they're like, well, we'll make it work. Temporary. We just got to yeah. find something because we're, you know,
we're scrambling.
I appreciate the honesty and they're probably a great tenant, but for this particular property that we're talking about, it's not a good fit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you could take that tenant and they'll probably pay on time, but they're going to be moving. You're going to have another vacancy in six to 9 months.
And if you're listening to this and you're saying that's messed up, no, I would take them in. Don't be a landlord. or give them to, because that, no, seriously. And I say, I mean, we're laughing, but like, I can't be the bad guy all the time.
Yeah.
Right. So, and I fought for the story. My aunt died again, mm-hmm. you know, my so-and-so passed. So I didn't need money for a funeral, any money for this, mm-hmm. money for that. And like, okay, fine. Because I'm sure there's one out of five stories. One is probably real. Right.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Or whatever the number is, but you kind of wonder like, wow, then you just get tired of it after a while. Cause you can't do that. So you, not that you have to be cold, but you do have to learn to just separate the bullshit from the reality of it.
The bank doesn't care. Exactly. If you're late on your mortgage payment on that investment right. property, the bank's right. not going to be real interested in your story about a tenant that didn't pay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And if you want to be a landlord, you also don't want to be having turnovers constantly. You want a right fit.
We want 2 to 3 years.
Out. Yeah, you want a person that wants to stay there, wants to create a family, wants to grow in your property. You don't want to turn over in a year because yeah. that's another $5,000 or $10,000 that yeah. you need to put.
Yeah,
they're going to bid your property, so you need to see.
Yeah,
you know.
And you guys get paid on collected rent.
Yes,
right. That's so correct. So keep that in mind. Now, this is if you're looking for property manager groups, companies, whatever. There's people who charge you no matter what. And there's people mm-hmm. who charge you a collected rent, which is what you guys do, which is why one of the many reasons why I love you guys is that, I mean, there's an incentive then on both ends. It's incentive for me to use you because I know you get paid on collected rent. And that also means that the tenant that's going to get in there is going to be a long-term tenant for a minimum for 1 year. But like you said, 3 years is a hope.
Yeah.
You get him into there and stuff like that. And then that's less because every time a tenant moves out, whether it be on their own recourse or on accord or not, there's turnover, right? You have to, mm-hmm. whether it's new carpet, paint, whatever it is and stuff like that. So if you're avoiding that.
And just the rent loss.
And just yeah.
Even if it didn't work.
Yeah, you still the downtime only, and stuff. Like, yeah,
you want to collect 12 months of rent mm-hmm. in 12 months.
In 12 months.
We don't want to collect 10 and a half.
Yeah.
11. It changes the numbers dramatically on your investment. If you're only collecting 11 months of rent over a 4-year period, mm-hmm.
So what are some of the bumps and bruises you guys have learned, throughout the years of doing this?
I mean, the having one policy as far as being late on rent and sticking yeah. to it. Like, in other words, our policy is rent's always due on the first. Every lease we make, the rent's due on the first. Mm-hmm. If you move in on the 18th or the 12th or the 9th,
it doesn't matter.
You pay the full month up front, the full deposit up front, maybe another additional security. And then going forward, the rent's due on the first. Mm-hmm. That way, it makes it easy for us to see who's late. If we had 30 different due dates for rent, we'd be
losing
ourselves. So we can easily see when people are late. We can run a report. We deliver notice to quits, even though we don't have to by our lease. Yeah. We do it anyway.
Okay.
That's another topic for like a new investor. There's legalities to how you can, if you're going to have an eviction, or even just filing in court, there's a certain way you have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I see it all the time when I'm in the magistrate. There's a guy, looks like he left work on his lunch break to go over there to file some paperwork because his tenant hasn't paid. And there's nowhere for you to go find that information. You could go in there and ask the court, the people that work in the court office,
yeah,
at the DJ's office, and they're not allowed to tell you.
I would say they'll say the legal advice.
Yeah,
is not fair. Mm-hmm. I don't agree with that, but that's what it is. So it's
they say it all the time. I can't text a legal advice. Yeah. I can't say anything.
Because you can go in and say, "Hey, is this the form I'm supposed to file?" And they're like, "I'm not allowed to tell you."
We can't tell you.
That's kind of a crazy system, but that's what it is.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter because it doesn't matter if you're, you know, where we're at or the cities that are an hour or two away from here. They're all the same.
Yeah.
Like they don't really, you know, again, they call it legal advice when, all right, fine, it's not, but I don't think it is. I just want to know the pecking order of how things should be done. Mm-hmm. And that's really about it. So that's something else to keep in mind. If you're thinking, you know, I can save a couple of bucks every single month. Okay, but what are you really saving? All right, think about it. This gentleman was on his lunch break. So instead of him eating lunch on his lunch break, he's at the DJ's office, magistrate's office, filing the documentation that he needs to go do all that instead of actually eating lunch or shoving down it while he's driving there and driving back or whatever, stuff like that. Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense. I did a little skit on TikTok and it talks about like, and basically I tell the one guy, like, it's me, I'm the other guy. I'm like, would you pay $400 to get rid of all this headache? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. I said, well, if you're collecting $4,000 a month, $400 is 10%. You can get rid of your headaches. And a lot of people don't see it. They're like, that's 10% or whatever it is you guys are charging. You're paying this much and stuff like that. And it's kind of like, well, it's not money gone. Because even if you landlord yourself, you have to compensate you for your time on top of the rent, on top of you being the owner.
Unless you think your time is worth it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Which is not great for you.
No, that's not good for
them. Not only that, you have your property management. They are the company that are going to receive the maintenance issues, the city inspections. We do offer property management, but we cover like landlord tenants complain. We go to court. We do the filing.
Did you set up with the city?
We get everything set up with the owner. Exactly.
Oh, nice.
That's a headache. Especially if you have an LLC, you need to send like organization documents, EIN, like all the IDs, everything for the city. We collect your rent monthly. We do city inspections. We do all the reports with codes, maintenance. When your tenant is crying or fighting at 12 p.m., we receive the call. It's not the owner receiving that call.
Yeah.
Usually, like, we know what is the emergency already because we have been working for so long that we're, like, a tenant could call me, I have an emergency. I don't know, like something so simple, my fridge, and we're like, okay, that could wait till tomorrow. Your emergencies, the house is on fire, furnace went out, hot water went out.
You don't have heat or whatever. Yeah,
exactly. Water, we still have 24 hours. Like, what are we talking about? You know?
Yeah.
So we are dealing with a lot of things that it's probably a headache for a person that we don't know what their situation. They are a landlord, but we don't know what is their situation.
Yeah, no. I mean, everyone is different. I mean, I'm sure there's people who listen to this are saying that's wrong. You shouldn't do that. And then someone like, damn, that's actually awesome. Mm-hmm. You're never going to make everybody happy. I mean, it is what it is. And
you can make mistakes with a lease. Like, we were looking at a lease this morning that had some funny language.
Yeah.
Yep. That could cost you
big time
lots and lots of money just by having a sentence written a certain way in a lease.
There you go.
That doesn't give you like an out. Mm-hmm. A way to get out of that lease.
Yeah.
And you'll be stuck with a tenant.
And I personally recommend to any of my clients and investors, like, yes, there's companies out there online. You can get generic documents and templates. But I always think it's worth sitting with a realtor or with an attorney and tell the attorney, hey, listen, this is the kind of landlord I want to be. Mm-hmm. And then let the attorneys create a lease. And then, anyway. So having said that, do you guys have a lease template that you already use, or do you take another landlord comes in and goes, hey, I want you to use my lease, don't use yours?
No, we have our template. Our template covers everything. It's 8 pages and then 11 pages, and then with the lead paint hazard that we need to provide, the pamphlet is like 18 pages.
Yeah,
it's 22, it depends. It covers everything. It even covers utilities. It covers Emergency contacts. It covers when a tenant closed the door and doesn't have a key, a lockout. It's a charge to the tenant. It covers clogged sewer pipes and stuff like that, depending what caused the clog on it. The tenant pays or the owner pays. It covers.
So you require the tenants to get renter's insurance.
It covers renter's insurance. It covers like literally everything. Yeah,
the lease is like having a good lease that covers as much as you can.
Yeah.
There's always, there will always be something that you didn't think of. And then when it comes about, you add it in the lease.
Yes.
So that you're covered the next time. But there's, if you have a really light lease that doesn't cover this weird situation, you're going to wish that that was
in
lease, because when something like that comes up, you know, you could have people flushing all kinds of crazy stuff and clogging sewer. You could,
have a $10,000 sewer on the toilet. And it costs 10 grand.
And it's not only just that you're going to hammer the people to get the money back. It could be that we can terminate this lease if there's repeated behaviors like this, that we can at least get out.
Yeah.
In quicker.
The other thing that we have been seeing on landlords that they rent their place is they have verbal agreements.
See the landlord or the tenant?
Verbal
and they come to you, tell me what that is.
We have a verbal agreement. I pay $500 for, and I'm like, we need to get them
in a
month to month or something on writing. Why? Because if something goes south with that tenant, you have a squatter in your property by court. We can kick that person out.
So
believe me, we have seen it all. I think
verbal agreements. I mean, I think
verbal agreements.
I think PA is a handshake state.
In some areas.
Yeah, certain areas. Yeah, I've heard that. Something like that.
So, I don't do that.
No, you don't.
No.
All right. So, as good as you two sound, and as I mean, obviously, I use you guys, right? So, there's full disclosure. There's sure somebody watching saying, "I don't care. I'm not going to pay it. I want to go ahead. I want to go ahead and do it myself."
That's okay.
To that 2%, 1% person who's saying that while listening to this or watching this, what would you advise them? So, okay, you don't want to use your services. That's fine. At the bare minimum, can you please do this? At the bare minimum, and it's not legal advice or financial advice or any kind of advice. This is just a friendly, hey, we're in the business. What would you say? These are top three things to look at when looking for a tenant. And these are the top three mistakes we see once the tenant's been moved in, for example.
I think the biggest thing for me that I see when we get the people that were there on their own, they saw a property listed somewhere online, bought it. Maybe it came with a tenant. Maybe they put a tenant in. A bigger concept to consider is like, would you want to live there if you had to? Remember, there's a person has to live there. So when you're just patching over something or
it's a rental.
Just a rental. The roof's been leaking. You just keep patching it. Like, you're going to get back what you invested kind of.
Yes.
If we our concept is just, we want to, it's not always going to be the best, nicest. There's levels to it, but at least provide some value for the person that's going to live there. If you provide value, they're going to feel like they should pay the rent. If they're living in bad conditions or things aren't getting repaired or this has been broken for months and they keep telling you over and over or whatever, when rent's due on the first, you think they're going to be like all excited to pay you? Probably not. So you want to have value. We want them to feel like I'm getting my money's worth. So they continue to be paying customer.
They are the client.
We don't want to have to chase people for rent. You don't want to have to fight with people over rent. If they're happy in the house and they think they're getting value out of it, their rent's paid on the first or before. You don't have to ask them for rent. They're happy. They like it. They take care of it. The biggest thing, I think, I'm not saying over improve stuff, but make it as nice as you can make it with a reason appropriate to whatever asset class it is. You know, you don't have to go put marble countertops and everything, but make it at least reasonable and decent.
Yeah.
And I think that also goes a long way with, as a, from a referral standpoint too. Mm-hmm. Like if you, if your tenant's good, but you're a good landlord on top of that, your tenants will start bringing you other good tenants, you know, because they, hey, I was at your place. I loved how it looked. Just mm-hmm. nice and clean. Who's your landlord? Do they have any for rent? I'm looking for something. I mean, that just that word of mouth goes a lot, you know. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Looking for good people.
So honestly, first things should be like, if you're putting your property on the market, don't grab the first referral from a friend or a people that walk through by the house. So put it on Zillow or something. There are all these apps right now that you could screen a tenant still if you're the owner. Like they give you the option.
Yeah.
They're going to charge the application fee. Put your property there. Check the credit. Try to check the magisterial dockets or write down dockets, landlord and tenant, and write the names of the person. Meet the person. Don't rent the property online. It is going to be a headache. Usually it is. When you are putting a tenant in there, don't tell them it's your own property. Just tell them.
Even if it is, just say no, it's not.
If it is, tell them that you're working for a family member, that you're managing their property or something, and do a lease agreement.
Don't do the verbal.
Don't do the verbal agreement.
Don't take a person's word for it.
Or the handshake. And put your, like, your details there, writing down, sign, and initial. And the other thing is, if this rental property, it was your own property, your personal property where you're going to rent it.
Yeah, we see that.
We see that a lot. Try to, unless you are,
it was your first time home. Now you're moving on, but
you're moving on and you're renting that property. If you aren't detached to it, okay, do it. If you're not detached to that property, sell it and get an investment property. Why? Because anything that that tenant does inside that house, you are going to take it very personal. And personal, you're going to cry, you're going to suffer. Everything that happens on that property that is your own property.
I didn't think about that.
Yes, you are going to suffer that property. So the recommendation is, if you're very, very attached to that property, sell it. Buy a new one as an investment property.
It's something that you're not emotionally.
Something, exactly.
You don't have memories.
That is the correct world.
Yeah.
Because when that tenant destroys the carpet where your kid used to crawl around, you're going to be
like, oh my God. Or paint the lines where you put that. How tall is your stuff kid? Like that. Yeah. You're going to be tearing apart. So,
I mean, it's not an emotional business. I think real estate is, period. Yeah. Rentals, flips.
It's very cold. So,
it's not
something to have emotion or be attached. Yeah. To things. So those are the pros, the cons
and everything in between. Yeah.
It's not that nobody can do it. I think, we're capable of managing, but there are lines to it. And, you know, you need to try to.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. I think anyone can do it, but not anybody can do it. And that's the difference. Is that because you got to have a certain personality on to do that. And if you are someone who's super emotional, just super high, like you get involved with somebody really fast and you have that attachment, you're never, because every tenant that comes in, oh, they're nice, they're sweet, they have a good job, they just got divorced or so-and-so passed away, this, that.
Yep.
Once they hear that, they get you in. That's it. They know they have. There's professional renters out there who know the rules and the systems, and they just bypass it.
I have had tenants or a prospect that comes to showing with babies and tell me, I need a place to live. Like right now, I have $5,000 in cash. Nope.
Yeah.
Like I'm like,
that's the tenant you know. Yes. That's it. Forget
it. I'm like, do the application process online. We review everybody's application. You have 24 hours to put your application. And they will call me, but they will not put the application in. If they don't do that, it's because of something.
And you know,
don't take it like, oh my God, they have a baby and they're giving me $5,000 up front. There's something going on. Like,
I got burnt. I got a lady who, when I first was doing myself, and she did the whole thing cash. It was January. I have first month, last month, secure deposit and cash. I'm like, okay,
maybe 6 months.
So I took it. I was like, oh, that's out. It's easy. It's easy cash. That's it. No problem. That was the last piece of rent I ever got from her, stuff like that. Then it was, I lost my job.
Yeah.
Well, I got a new job. Well, the hours they cut. Then it was this 5 months later, 6 months later, 7 months later.
That's a professional tenant.
Yep.
You know, I'm just like, damn. It was, and there was, it's the lesson learned.
She's looking for.
Yeah.
They lesson have been learned. On the market a long time. So,
unfortunately. So,
yep.
Well, thank you guys. I really appreciate you coming on the show. Listen, it's, you can see all the sexy stuff if you want on real estate all the time on TV and stuff like that. And it is, it can be, but there's, I think there's more unsexy days than sexy days. And landlording, as cool as it sounds, you're sitting there collecting a check from your tenant. You still have to give them a quality product. Mm-hmm. You still have to give them a quality product. You still have to show your face, or if you're not showing your face, that you put a quality management team who represents you on your assets every day. So again, thank you. This is you know, Anna and Adam for coming on the show. And each and every week, I end the show saying the same way. Just do right by the client. If you do right by the client, everything else will fall into place. Don't chase the money. Just take care of the client. Sometimes the client is you. And if you do that, I promise you, everything that you set out to do will fall into place piece by piece. So that's it for us. Again, thank you guys. See you guys next week. Take care of each other. Be good to each other. Be safe. And see you all then.